We are continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. We talked about last week, we began talking about the fact that the Word of God, which penetrates our thoughts and the intentions and conceptions of our heart, it is what judges us and informs us about us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As used to say over in the Apostolic Church, I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's good news.
Amen.
As we said before, sin knocked out the ability for us to even know us. We can walk around with telephone poles in our eyes and have no idea that we're doing that. In other words, eyes simplifies our lives. In other words, telephone poles in our lives simplifies that we have all kind of gigantic problems in our lives and don't see it. And yet we see this toothpick in the lives of somebody else. That's sin. That's a result of sin. I hate that I'm like that. Yeah. But with this teaching, Holy Ghost, and Word of God, He'll help to balance that out.
Amen.
Because one of the things that He's helping with me is, yes, but look at you. Yes, but look at you. I love that. The Lord's Holy Spirit said, yes, but look at you. That cuts just being just ragging on somebody, man, it is and then that. Yeah, but look at you. Maybe you're not doing that, but you're doing this, which is equally as sinful in the eyes of God.
Amen.
It's sin. Sin, Mr. Arlene. Sin. Yeah. That's what ails the world.
Yeah.
Sister Rolanda was talking with her boss. And that's what she let him know. A non-believer, an atheist, really, a non-believer. A Jew, let them know. It's sin. Thank God for the boldness. That's the problem in the world today. We've said that for many years here, but I don't think we know how blessed we are to know that that's the problem.
Yes.
I don't think we understand that, how blessed we are. Because do you realize billions don't understand that?
No.
And since they don't understand the problem, then every solution is the wrong solution. No. That's why I don't think we understand how blessed we are to know that. Because we'll go about it the right way. We'll go about it through prayer. We'll go about it through the Word of God, through being led by the Holy Spirit. And not by need. Not by looking at the world, looking at the problems of the world as fires that need to be put out. If that's the case, you're going to always be putting out a fire. That's not the route to go. That's how I used to think when I was younger. I've always wanted to help people. And you know, you go to help this person, you got 20 million other things going on over on this side. You find out, nope, we're blessed to know what the problem is.
Hey.
That is huge. We could take some solace in that, in a sense. I mean, it's terrible because of sin, and it is super destructive. One of the things that I just lament, what sin has done, what Satan has done, is just taking away the care and concern for children. That is so disturbing to me. That is so disturbing. The world just doesn't care about children anymore. Not much. Not like they used to. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, reveals our true nature and our thoughts only, which is on the inside. And we begin to talk about that we're made up of two selves, in a sense. Or we can live two lives, or we can present two personas, still review. The two personas, the two identities, or the two characters, or the two faces that we present or can present, is one is a false, deceived self or persona or identity, and the other is the real, true, new self or nature or identity. Then we said it takes the word of God to identify our false self and our true self, because we, being able to be deceived, self-deceived, and the heart is incurably sick and is deceitful above all. You look at that about the heart, then your heart can convince you, your false self is your true self, and therefore you're all right. And we're living in a state of great self-deception. Just like what group?
The Pharisees.
So then we begin talking about the false self, the false life, false living, the false persona. What does that look like? And we went over to Romans 12 too, still review. I don't know about you. I know I need to hear it again. Because that was a lot last time. It was loaded. So we're going to go back through that again. Romans 12 too, do not be conformed to this world. Romans 12 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Conformed again means to take the shape of outwardly. We drew on that last time, to take the shape of outwardly. So that means that we drew our man or our figure. So this is the outer man, right? And then inside there is the inner. And this would be our true self. This would be the true self. Now, Apostle Paul said, do not be conformed that outwardly we look like the world. We know this last time. We look like the world. He says, but be transformed by an inward transfiguration, which is transformed, which is an inward transfiguration, by the renewing of your mind and thoughts, so that you may prove the will of God, which is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We then looked at the commentator and Greek scholar Kenneth V. Spell, W-E-U-S-T. He says, stop assuming an outward expression which is patterned after this world, an expression which does not come from, nor is it representative of what you are in your inner being as a regenerated child of God. We can't do that enough. At least I can. For the outer looks nothing like the true nature. Again, we pointed as this representing the spirit, our spirit. That the spirit of Christians, believers, is that part of the being of mankind that God literally rose from spiritual death. Thank you, Lord, is right. I can't hear that too much. You pause and calmly think about that. And if you do, what rises in my spirit at least is, wow, he did something that incredible. I mean, the least I can do is try to live for him.
Amen.
Gee whiz, you know. Wow, you take the time to do that. Die for me to secure my salvation, shed your blood, and I'm going to go around and think that I can do and say anything I want to do, or just believe anything and don't think it's no big deal, outwardly looking like the world when you've done this all on the inside. Kenneth Vese goes on to say, one could translate, stop masquerading in the habiliments, which is ways of this world. It's mannerisms, it's speech, it's expressions, it's styles, it's habits. Stop masquerading in those. I can't hear that enough. I believe you can't hear it enough either. Because we got to remind ourselves every day, every half a day. You hear something, you see something. And if you don't focus and lock in, say locked and loaded, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, which is to be self-controlled, disciplined mentally, then be diligent, which means to be constantly watchful. Because your adversary, which is King James, which means your enemy, your opponent, the one who is opposed to you, is on the prowl. Do you realize? And I you know what? I need to scare you, spiritually speaking. Do you realize that the whole kingdom of darkness, with all of its strata layered, is arraigned against stopping you and me? The whole kingdom. Ephesians says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual witness and high places, and I think four of them. That's all. That's who we're wrestling against. Why do you say that? Because I need us not to take sin lightly, or I need us not to take temptations to sin lightly. That's what I'm trying to say. The temptation, take it seriously. Whenever something comes against my marriage, a certain thought, certain girl, a certain stretch pants, legging, walk across my, whatever it is to try to take my mind, I fight the temptation so that you don't sin. You don't have to sin. And I think we kind of use that as Christians as an excuse. Well, I'm only human. You ain't just a mere human being walking around here. We just said you've been born again. We talked about that on Sunday. You're born of God. God is your father. Yes. He raised you from the dead. What a miracle.
Amen.
Looking for a miracle, expect the impossible. If you say this already has happened to you. Are you... Do you understand? The Clark sisters, I understand, because of that secular, really humanistic prosperity gospel that was taking a hold of it, that where that was coming from. But I don't realize, man, the greatest miracle, the impossible, has already happened to you, to me, to us.
Amen.
It's called salvation. We were dead. Ephesians 2:1-5. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead, Miss April. Dead. Graveyard dead. You had he, King James, quickened, meaning made alive. I feel like running, Miss Sterling. Oh, Miss Nicole, I feel like running. I think part of the problem, I know part of the problem with millions of Christians, evangelicals, Protestants, is a lack of understanding concerning salvation. Because I know, I didn't know. You know, it was works righteousness. We grew up apostolic. It was works righteousness. Soon you sin, you're going to hell. So you had to work it right and, you know, that sort of thing. And there was a lot of pressure on us, you know, because it's just wrong teaching. You can't be good enough for God to say, hey, I'm going to accept you in my king. You're just a good guy. That's God is, to even say that is to be ignorant of the holiness of God. To say that is to be ignorant of the standard that God has set way above what we could ask or think or do. That's why he had to give us Holy Spirit. First of all, make us alive, give us Holy Spirit, give us a desire for him, his word, his people to do right. God did all that. Because we were enemies of all of that. God, desires for God to do right. We were enemies of all of that. Our mantra was Frank Sinatra. It's your, I did it my way. Or Isaac Brothers, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Because that's what the world tells you. That's what Satan wants. He tried to do what he wanted to do. That's pride. And pride is a master deceiver because it dresses up and looks so juicy, but it's pride underneath, the filthy, stinking pride that goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride can dress itself up. It is very deceptive. We taught on pride, so I just thought about that. And that was, it was something like that. It is pride is very dangerous, very sneaky, very deceitful. We need Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wow. Because you and I and us, we can assume an outward expression which is patterned after the world and think we're smack dab in the middle of obeying God. That's scary. The Pharisees, you couldn't tell them that they weren't God-fearing, mighty men and women of God. You couldn't tell them that. Even when Jesus told them, they laughed at him, called him names, and eventually killed him. The word world in there, again, is, because we kind of blew through this last week, so we let it breathe again a little bit more this time. Again, he said, one could translate, stop masquerading in the ways of this world, its mannerisms, speech, expressions, styles, and habits. So Kenneth Vese translates the word world. All that floating mass of thoughts, opinions, maxims are like sayings or proverbs. Speculations, hopes, impulses, aims, aspirations, all of that. You can add things like philosophies and theories and reasoning, all of that. He said that all that floating mass of all of that at any time current in the world. So what's happening right now in our time? That's our world. All of the thoughts and massive opinions and maxims. Because after all, that's where the strongholds are built. Just on theories and ideas. R.C. Sproul's book, great. The consequence of ideas. That's what led to the Holocaust. That's what led to slavery. Somebody got an idea. That's what led to abortion. Mass murder of children in the womb by the millions. All began with an idea. And the idea was, let's dehumanize these people, blacks, Jews, and babies. That's scary. Let's not look at them as humans. Jews would look at as vermin and viruses. They looked at something to be gotten rid of. Blacks were looked at as animals, less than human. And babies are just a mass, a blob. He is, when God said through Moses, Genesis 3 and 1, that the devil, the serpent, is the most subtle beast, God ain't never lied.
Amen.
Man, you got to realize that. The most subtle beast. And he said, this floating mass of thoughts and opinions and maxims and speculations and hopes and impulses and aims and aspirations at any time current in the world. That's what's happening right now. Floating mass of it. and this mass of these thoughts and expressions and so forth are expressed in movies, expressed on TV, expressed in the news, expressed in print media, and now social media. Never take an idea for granted. When somebody says, have an idea, and they have the power and the money behind it, that's scary. Because that's what all this started as. The elite, rich, being able to come up with ideas and implement them. How else can two Harvard professors write a book that seemed like history and it hadn't happened yet? How in the world you do that? I think it's Madsen and I think another guy named Clark. I'm not sure the last name of Kirk. I think Madsen and Kirk, I think, are the two last names of the Harvard professors. There was a meeting of homosexuals. Much power, much influence. High. They had this meeting in 88. The numbers seem to be floating 150 to 200. You can best believe there were television executives, politicians, billionaires. A year later, Kirk and Madsen put the book out after the ball. And then again, you know, the rest of that is how America will overcome. That's a gangster word. Will, not might. Are we going to try to convince y'all how America will overcome? It's hatred and fear. You know, those two words are, if you don't agree with us, you hate us and you're scared of us. So that's well planted. How America will overcome is hatred and fears of gays in the 90s. And he went out and set it up. They got a whole program. How are you going to do it? And he put it forth. And now, they have much power. Ideas floating. That's the world. That's why when you watch the news, when you watch TV, when you watch things and listen to things and sit around family that's not safe, sit around cough the coffee, you know, the symbolic speaking in the office, hearing things, you need to be making sure your Holy Ghost police is on really clear. That the whole security force in your spirit is on high alert. Proverbs says it this way. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart. Protect it. And that means like set up a battalion around it, full of soldiers with guns, symbolically speaking. That's how you're to guard your heart, which is your mind and your thoughts. Because if you don't, Beast goes on to say, this masquerade costume, which saints sometimes put on, hides the Lord Jesus living in the heart of the Christian and is an opaque covering through which the Holy Spirit cannot radiate the beauty of the Lord Jesus. And therein is the fullness of the problem. God gets no glory. You were made, I was made, we were made by him and made for him. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Father God, help us not to take ideas and opinions and maxims and impulses and speculations and thoughts for granted, but to police it, police it. Let your Holy Spirit guide us, direct us. We may keep our minds stayed on you. Amen. And you said if we do that, you will keep us in perfect peace. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. That's good news. Perfect peace. Amen. Whose mind is stayed on thee. So when we masquerade, outwardly looking like the world, when we do that, you need some water? Here you go. Oh. Okay. When we masquerade, okay. You're like, you, she's going fast enough, and I can get it to you. When we masquerade with this costume, this is our false self. You understand what, now what that means? The false self, because that's not the true self. This is false. That's not who we really are. When you're, okay, the false self is when a born again, risen from the spiritual dead, Christian, believer, slave of God, and all the others, when that person, who meaning they are really saved, but they walk around and outwardly look just like, I know it's Ice Eskimo, but just want to understand it. Outwardly they look like the world. So that outward living is a masquerade. That's false. That's your false self. You really aren't that person. You're just acting like that. Does that make sense? That's not really who you are. And that's what he's saying here. He is saying, stop assuming an outward expression which is patterned after this world. An expression which does not come from, nor is it representative of what you are in your inner being as a regenerated child of God. That's the true you, the regenerated child of God, which is the inner being. That's the real us. And when your outward is not matching who you really are, then this is a false self. That's not truly you. And if you were bad in school like I was, they would say, that's not you. Why are you acting like this? You know better than this. And he's saying, stop masquerading in that. So when we do, realize that this false self, this false persona, this false character, this false identity that we're putting forth is what produces, here it is, surface level spiritual living. Surface level. That's what produces that. It's not nothing deep. It's not real. It's surface. It's a masquerade. You're wearing a mask. Let's look at this in scripture and get it and get kind of Titus together. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew, the 15th chapter. And look at verse 8. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Let's look at this quote unquote false self in scripture. The false self, the false identity, the false character, the false persona. Let's look at what it looks like. Well, what does that look like, preacher? Good question. Glad you asked. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus speaking, right? He said, this people honors me with their lips. All right, look up here. Would that not be the outer self? That's false. They honor me with their lips. And he goes on to say, but their heart is far from me. So is not their honoring with the lips false? Yes, it's a masquerade. It's not real. I mean, even in the natural, just human beings. You know when somebody's trying to flatter you? Like, they don't mean none of that. Even in the natural, we don't like that. Even in the natural, as human beings, you can pick up when another human being is just trying to honor you. But their heart is far from you. How much more Almighty God? False living, a false persona. It's to present what isn't as though it is. I'm going to say that again. It's to present what isn't, which is honoring God as though it is. As though they're really honoring God, but they're not honoring God. They're pretending to honor God, but they are not. He said their heart is far from me. Look at this verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. In vain, your worship You're honoring me. Your worship is empty. It's worthless. It's useless, meaning vain. Empty, void, worthless, useless. Does that make sense, Word of Life? That's a false self-living. Look at Matthew 23, a few chapters over, verse 29. So again, Pharisees outwardly looking like they're honoring God, but Jesus, knowing what was in the heart of man, knew that it was a false honor. It was false honor. It was vain worship. It was empty. Matthew 23, verse 25. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Look what he calls them. Hypocrites. Hypocrites are mask wearers. Why? Because you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. Wow, look what they present on the outside. Looking all juicy. The cup is clean, the platter is clean, looking nice and clean, symbolic of looking good. But inside, the cup is filthy, it's dirty. Representative of our inner man or the heart. Verse 26. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also. Verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear what? Beautiful. You looking good. But inside they are full. He doesn't say, like in verse 25. He said, but inside there's robbery. And he said, no, full of it. He says it again in 27. They are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And there is the false self. You appear to be righteous to men. Now, I know that the Pharisees weren't really saved, but we really are. But the point I'm making is when Paul tells the real Christian to stop assuming the outward expression of the world. This is sort of an example of that. We're going to appear to be looking good, but inside our motives aren't right. We are saved, but you can still do that which is ungodly and have the wrong motives and worship God and be empty in our worship. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good. Tell you, how does that look? That's just how that looks. Can Christians offer false worship? Sure they can. Can they be praising God and mind be somewhere else? Can a Christian sin on Saturday night, so to speak, and come in on Sunday and after doing dirt on Saturday night? Do we fall into sin? Jesus, John, 1 John says, my little children, I write these things that you sin not. But if you do sin, Christians do sin. We have an advocate with the Father. But you don't go and parade the sin. You don't live in that sin. You don't get comfortable in that sin. That is 1 John. What was James 4? Is that the
quarrels among you?
Yes. That is where the flesh rules. Yes. And that's a good point. She was asking that also. Is that also in James chapter 4? When we want to look outwardly good, but we really know that we're not right in is our flesh has taken over. Does that make sense? And when your flesh is taken over, you got problems coming your way. And unless the Holy Ghost come in and say, hey man, you need to tighten this up. You off right now. Because your heart, remember, your flesh can deceive you and you think, I'm okay. That's why we need continuous help. Questions.